So you've picked the heart of worship, worship and all that. We got some professionals in worship in here today, yeah? No. Okay. Good. So worship, what is it? Why do we do it? What's the connection between all these things? What's the scriptural foundation of all these questions, of these things? And that's questions that will be answered in the upcoming weeks. It's not what I'm covering today. Today we're going to be talking about response. Okay? So Pentecostals, we get quite the rap with the way we worship, from clapping of hands on 2 and 4, might I add. Yes. To raising of hands, running of aisles, holy rolling, cartwheels. I've seen guys jump in baptistries before. Maybe a little out of order there, but the list goes on, okay? We like to worship. So these are what we call worship responses. And our lesson today will be looking at these worship responses and the role that God's character and actions play in the way we respond to these things. So first off, we have to establish that we don't look at worship as rituals, routine, or even a performance that God, well, I almost said that God's going to grade you on, even pastor. I mean, hopefully you don't get up there, "Oh, pastor's looking at me, so now I'm going to worship." If that's why you're doing it, then ooh, let's check ourselves. Okay? So our worship is a biblical response to who God is, what God has done, and what God is going to do, what He's doing now, what He's going to do. The world's crazy today. We see it all the time. But I'm thankful that we have a God that is worthy to be to worship and praise. Which I don't think I give you one either. Here. Everybody got one though? Okay. So, with that being said, the first things we're going to look at, we got God's character, and then we have God's actions, and then we'll get into some other things here, but His character. So worship because of who He is. I mean, when we think of all the attributes of who God is, I mean, what are some, I didn't have this in my notes, but here we go. What are some, without looking at the notes I already have before you, what are some attributes that we can give to God? It's some of His characteristics. Provider. Great. Anybody else?
Self-love.
Love.
Mercy.
Mercy.
Healer.
Healer. What is it?
Faithful.
Faithful. I mean,
Considerate.
considerate.
He's considerate.
Yeah. I've heard it. Hey, we start getting into these crazy words. And like, what's that mean? I can't even say it. All right, so worship is provoked by a revelation, you know, of who He is, all His wonderful things. It's not a song, the atmosphere. You know, people get offended if you put a smoke in the room or, you know, lights and all that. It's not a Texas A&M Yale leader. Y'all ever seen those? They're not cheerleaders, they're dudes, and they're out there just, you know. A&M Aggies. I don't know what they do. But anyways, sometimes we can feel like maybe that's happening in church, and there is a right time and place for these things, sure. But the questions are, does it take this to get you to worship every single time? Is that what it takes for you to worship? And another question is, are these times of worship an emotional response to the situation? In other words, they're playing my favorite song, so I'm going to stand because this is my jam. Holla. Woot woot. You know? Okay. Or are they a response to who God truly is? And that's shown by, I'm going to stand because of who He is, not because I hate this song. You know?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's true worship at that point. So to truly be able to worship someone, you have to first understand who that person is. You've already said some attributes, some characteristics. We're discovering traits to who He is, and the first one is God is holy. You know, there's that song, Holy, Holy, Holy. I'm not going to sing it. There's a bunch of songs that say Holy, Holy, Holy. But the whole earth is full of His glory, Isaiah 6:3. I was thinking about this particular verse, and I started to think about the first time. Do you remember the first time you ever walked and looked at the ocean or the Grand Canyon? I had a particular time I went to the Grand Canyon, and I walked up to the rim of the canyon there, and I'm just looking, and it's just, man, this is crazy. And I looked down. And in Sharpie, it's pinned, only God. Okay? And you see that, and then you look up and you're like, yeah, this is crazy. There's just wonderment. It's amazing. Powerful God. He's awesome. He's all powerful. And how beautiful His creation is. Okay? Isaiah 6:5 goes on to say, woe is me, for I am done. It's an exclamation of despair, of guilt, brokenness, when Isaiah encountered the holiness of God. True worship begins when we realize God's holiness and magnitude, and we prefer Him over us and our preferences and all that. Encounter with holiness produces reverence, it's repentance, and it's surrender to Him. Okay? So when we see Him rightly, we can bow naturally. Okay? So we worship because He is holy. Okay? The next one, God is love and mercy. You hit on it right there. 1 John 4, 8 and 16, it says the words verbatim, God is love. Okay, it says some other things, but the phrase God is love is there. Romans 5, 8 says, God commends His love towards us. The children sing a song, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. Okay, it's a great song. Fantastic. They need to learn. They need to sing songs like that. But something we must be careful of is making our love for Him feel obligatory. Is that how you say it? No. Obligatory. Yeah. You feel like you have to do it because He gave it to me. And that's not the way we do it. We don't worship Him to earn His love. He's already given it to us. Okay? We worship because of who He is and receive His love and mercy in our lives because He freely gives it and He deems to give it to us. Okay? The next one, God is faithful. Anybody have a story about God being faithful in their lives? Yes. I mean, we could probably take the rest of the time. Really, if everybody was willing to share a story, we could probably take the rest of the time and talk about that alone. Okay? We read about God's faithfulness to His people throughout Scripture time and time again. We hear all the testimonies of things God has done in people's life. Hopefully, we can think back on these times, you know, that He's done things in our lives. And reading these and reflecting on all these testimonies we hear should elicit a worship response because He's been too good. He's been too good to me. I've heard it said, if God doesn't do anything else for me, He's already done enough. Okay. He already deserves all my love. So, God is sovereign. Next one. Supreme power, authority. That's our God. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. Psalms 97 and 1. So, our worship responds to God, to a God who is omnipotent. Okay, He's all-powerful. Who is not distant. You know, He's the same yesterday, today, forever. And He still moves to this day. Okay. Supreme power, authority. And then, I mean, I don't know how you can get by the characteristics of God and who He is without, you know, God is one, right? I mean, if we don't know how many gods there are, if we don't know that we're worshiping one God, then that's a great starting point. But we can't leave it out. Characteristics and it's a staple of Jesus in Oneness Pentecostal Church. Okay? We hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Deuteronomy 6:4. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 2:9. So we do not worship a trio of persons and all that. We worship the one true living God who revealed Himself in flesh and died for our sins. Right? So why is this? What's the point? Okay? To truly be able to worship someone, you must first understand the basic makeup of that being. When we worship God, we're worshiping the Creator, the Redeemer, Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, Holy Ghost, whatever these crazy words that we talked about, okay? All that. It's the one same God. I want to emphasize the right worship begins and flows from right revelation of Him, okay? Then we respond. Because of that, we can respond correctly in worship, with right worship. So He reveals Himself. Worship follows. Okay? So that's character. How are we doing on time? Pretty decent. All right, so what has He done for you lately? Okay? When we talk about character, now we're going to look at actions. Okay? And I probably should start with by saying we don't worship God in order to get things, right? You know, it's like people say, well, if you give your offering, you're going to get it back 100-fold or whatever they random number they want to throw out there. And people are like, yeah, let's do it. And it doesn't come through maybe the way they thought it or on time. And they're like, well, God's not real. I'm not going to go. Okay. Anyways, I don't know where that came from, but there's some extra chicken nugget for you. All right. So we've touched on this a little bit, you know, character because a little bit in his character because it's naturally going to overlap. Okay, a person, their character, and their actions, you're going to see a little bit of overlap there because they're one and the same in a lot of ways. So, we naturally respond to people once they do something for us, right? Whether good or bad, okay? We might respond with a simple thank you when somebody does something good. Somebody does you dirty, you might want to give them a knuckle sandwich. I don't know, okay? But you're going to respond either way, okay? A response. There's no different in our relationship with God. There are many instances throughout Scripture where we see responses to the great things God has done. I mean, a plethora of all the things God has done. So, a few of them we're going to talk about is the first one is deliverance led to worship at the Red Sea. Everybody knows the popular story. Came to the Red Sea. Like, what are we going to do? Moses goes up there, the Red Sea parts, they go across on dry land. Down comes, you know, behind him and takes out, you know, the enemy there. So, if we look at Exodus 15:20, we're talking about Miriam, who is Aaron's sister. She took a timbrel, which is a tambourine, okay? I know we struggle some clapping on 2 and 4. Don't, tambourine's a whole other ball game, okay? You ever seen that person with a tambourine? You know, they just doing, I don't know. It's just chaos. I'm glad I'm in a drum cage at that point because I'm like, they're not getting me off time, right? Anyways, there are good tambourine players. So Miriam, Aaron's sister, took the tambourine and the women and danced as they sang praises unto the Lord for glorious triumph. So they weren't wild and over before the Red Sea crossing. It was after they came across and they began to worship. Okay? So, I mean, there's an illustration here. If a child is saved from a burning house, the parents aren't going to be like, oh, well, should we be thankful for this or not? Okay? The child's obviously saved. So, there's a natural response there, right? So, how can you not, when you see something like that, how can you not respond with worship at that point? And that's exactly what Miriam and the women did. The next was the healing led to the worship for the leper in Luke 17. This is a very sad story. It really is because there were 10 of them. 10 dudes. I guess it's dudes. It says lepers. There might have been some ladies there too. They got their healing and they took off because, man, I got my nose back. Whatever it is. I don't know. But then there was the one that came back and thanked Jesus directly. And of course, we know that he was made whole at that point. The leper worshipped. It says with a loud voice, verse 15, with a loud voice. You know, sometimes worship is, it's not this way. These people probably think the mic just went out. No, but it was with a loud voice. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for me. Okay? So because he healed, which ultimately led to wholeness in his life, more than just the physical, okay? He received the spiritual as well. And of course, there's a lot of debate on what all that meant. But to me, I truly believe it was more than just the physical, okay? So the leper received a healing. His response was gratitude. Jesus responded with yet another healing beyond the physical. The next one's the spirit outpouring leads to worship. We see this all the time, right? We're a Pentecostal church. The Spirit pours out. When the Spirit fell, they spoke in tongues and magnified God. Acts is, you know, the epicenter for what we do and to model our church today. So Pentecostal worship is patterned after the book of Acts. Tongues, praise, proclamation, all these things. Experience with God, experiences with His outpouring leads to exaltation of Him. Next one, worship leads to, or salvation leads to worship. Heaven rejoices over one sinner. Yep. Yep. There's something special about services where you see these people. It might be their first time. Okay. They come in, they go up there and get dunked under the water, and you see people getting the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, and man, it's exciting to see these things happen. And like, oh, there's another one. And if heaven's rejoicing over it, we certainly should be as well, right? So through these 4 points, we see deliverance brought a song, healing brought praise, outpouring brought declaration, and salvation brings about rejoicing. So songs, praise, declaration, rejoicing are just a few different responses to the actions of God. And it is important to show these responses to others because it's a witness in and of itself, right? Let me tell you what God did. And it encourages other people. Because, we worship because He saved, He filled, He delivered, so on and so forth. So, we got to the character and the actions. Now, looking at it from the emotional response. Now, I wrote, worship is not an emotional response. Okay? And you're like, I don't know. It's not sitting right with me here. Well, let me explain. Emotion will definitely come with the way you respond, naturally. Okay? There's going to be some emotion. But God is the source. Okay? I'm not saying you can't have emotions when you respond. In fact, most of the time it's going to be emotional. Worship is a very emotional experience. But if your response is only due to the goose pimples and the feel goods, that we may be missing the point. Okay? Okay? Going back, they're playing my favorite song, so I'm going to worship. Okay? Because I'm responding here. And I'm going to be emotional here. Okay? When you see a video, I just made a video of my daughter walking. And I put some music to it. And man, it just makes you feel different about the video, right? You're like, oh, she's growing up. Then you put the music. Oh my gosh, what's happening? Slow down. Anyways, so worship isn't hype. Okay? Back to the Texas A&M cheerleader. It's not hype. It's spirit empowered, response because of who He is and what He's done. It's not manipulation or coaching, only for you there to keep you from sitting there like a bump on a pickle or whatever they say. It's not manufactured, okay? Natural, calculated, for lack of a better term, response, okay? Speaking in tongues, prophecy. We just went through this whole big series on Wednesdays with Brother Massey, and man, I can hear him talk all day long. But just, he was helping us with all these different, gifts of the Spirit and all that. It's all part of it, okay? It's all a worship response, okay? And if I love in a Pentecostal church, if somebody decides to go take a lap, it's not a distraction. It's just part of the worship experience, Somebody feels good. Who's the older gentleman? I can't think of his name. Do you know who he is? Brother Taylor. Yes. Man, he will take a lap. It might take him a while to get that lap down there and back, but it's awesome. I love it. I love it. So, Spirit-filled people, we shouldn't have to convince you, to a Spirit-filled person to worship. Okay? You shouldn't have to. Okay? I mean, I know sometimes you come down here in the Molly Grubs and need a little maybe push here and there, but if that's what it takes every time, again, we're missing it, okay? If we're only responding in an emotion and not, a true understanding of who He is and what He's done. Yeah. So, we know Pentecostals can get rowdy. We get expressive in our worship. Church services get loud. They get joyful. Demonstrative in nature. So, what's the Bible say about this? Okay. Psalms 150, praise Him with the trumpet, and it goes on, and then it says loud cymbals. Okay. That's my wheelhouse. Let's go. Okay. People may ask, why do you play that loud music? Church is meant to be dignified and refined. Put your pinky up when you're sipping on your tea. Nah. Okay. It is biblical to be loud. Okay. Doesn't always have to be loud, and it has to be comfortably loud. I know I'm walking It's a fine line. Some of you are like, oh gosh, I can't do this. But loud cymbals. It says loud cymbals. Okay, high sounding cymbals. Okay, praise with it's expressive. When I get behind a drum kit, I'm not just back there to. I don't care if you all ever see me play the drums. Okay, I'm doing it as a form of worship to God. Right. Everybody that's up there doing it as a form of worship to God. Okay? Or they should be. I'll put it that way. All right, so the next one. Clap your hands, all you people. Again, on 2 and 4. Should we practice? 1, 2, 3, 4. Y'all like, I'm not going to practice. They're going to know it's me. All right, so the next one. David danced before the Lord. He's doing a little cabbage patch. Yeah? Maybe? Sprinkler? Plus? No, I don't think it was a trending dance, okay? But whatever the dance was, he did it before the Lord, unashamed, worshiping God, right? He was expressive, just like the ladies at were when they came across the Red Sea. They were expressing worship. They weren't doing it for people to say, oh, look how good of a dancer they are. Almost said they is. Look how good of a dancer they is. All right, so don't apologize. You know, for expressing in worship and all that. It's biblical obedience. And when we think of his characters and actions, hands lifted, voices cry, flow, praise erupts and all that, tears flow. So, the worship transforms us. It isn't just about honoring God, but it's about changing the worshiper and their situations. Okay, true worship refocuses our affections, aligns our will with his, and create space for supernatural breakthrough to happen. In Isaiah 6, he was commissioned. Okay, Isaiah saw God, he confessed sin, he broke down, was cleansed, and then he was commissioned to go forth. Paul and Silas in Acts 16 were freed. They worshiped. Okay, worshiped, chains broke, prison shook, they walked out of there. Okay. Was transforming their situation. People were filled with the Holy Ghost. We know Acts 2:38, upper room and all that. Acts 4:31, the people prayed, the place was shaken, and they were filled. Okay, again, transformed. Okay, so all this is refocusing our priorities and helping us get in tune with God. So, the last one here, my point. So, worship is a lifestyle response. Okay. It's a good one. It's not just a sporadic, you know, feel good thing again. Not just one and done, you know. I'm here. I'm going to get my praise on for the year. We're in March 1st. Happy March, y'all. But here we are. I'm going to praise March 1st. I should be good for the rest of the year. No. It's a lifestyle. We respond through daily obedience, separation, and so on. Romans says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. A lifestyle of worship. A living sacrifice. Day in, day out. Doesn't end at the altar call. You take it with you. Okay. I've heard it said, corporate worship is the overflow of a private devotion. Okay. It's not just a Sunday moment. The same hands lifted on Sunday must live and respond the same way on a Monday. Okay. So as we close this out, worship is not something we manufacture. It is something we naturally that naturally flows from the revelation of who he is, what he's done, seeing him as holy, loving, faithful, sovereign, one. And when we recognize him as all these great and mighty things, the Creator, Redeemer, Savior, King, response is inevitable. And then right revelation will produce that right response. So we don't worship because of all the lights, you know, we talked about that. The music is right, the mood feels right, feels good in here, got those goose pimples. We worship because he is right, okay? He is holy whether the song is our favorite or not, okay? Faithful whether the week was easy or not, okay? He is sovereign whether we understand his plan or not. And he is still saving, still filling, and still delivering us to this day. So it doesn't stop at a sanctuary. Worship is not confined to a service. It becomes that lifestyle. And the same mouth that shouts on Sunday speaks on Monday as well of all the goodness of God. Same hands lifted in praise must live in obedience. So we worship because of who He is, we worship because of what He's done, and we worship because He is still doing it to this day. And when that revelation is clear, response is unavoidable. And when we see Him rightly, and all these things we've talked about, how can we not respond to that? Okay. Before I get into anything, does anybody have anything to add? I have some questions here. Did y'all cheat and look ahead of here? Okay.
I have a comment.
Sure, man. Make that comment.
So, it's interesting. You can look at a congregation, at people in a congregation, and you can tell where their relationship with God is based upon how they worship.
Mm-hmm.
For example, a new member, they want to, but they're not comfortable. They feel awkward. You can tell.
Mm-hmm.
You can just see it, that they don't really know what to do, but they just want to do something. And then you got those that are comfortable in doing it. They've done it. It's just second nature to them. And then you can even tell those that, like you said, pastor's looking at me. They stand out like a sore thumb.
Right.
Right. But you can look at people, you can tell where they are in their walk with God based upon their worship.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said it for a long time, and I may be wrong, but I'm still going to hold to my guns. If you're not worshiping, how can you even have a relationship with God? Mm-hmm. How is that even possible?
Sure.
To do that.
Sure.
The private devotion thing is good. I think I agree with that particular idea. It's, if you're meeting with God daily, or your Bible, talking to Him, but it should spill over. It should be very natural.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll need less encouragement.
Yeah, that's good. And it's kind of crazy too. I will say this. When somebody first comes in and they're getting real excited about it, and when they finally do get it and they're okay, man, they will be crazy sometimes.
Yes.
And you love it. And then you got people in here who've been doing it forever and just like, eh. You know. I don't know. It's crazy, right?
I really believe, I feel like we get too comfortable. It's almost like a relationship or marriage. You know, if you're not actively trying to connect and talk about new things and go further in the Word of God, similar to a relationship, if you're not still trying to do date night or whatever, you know, 15 years in your marriage, there will be some stagnation.
Yeah. Becomes routine, and you get numb to it. You know, we take it for granted. You know, and then if we're not careful, if we sit there long enough, like you're saying, and pushing ourselves to grow deeper in our relationship with Him and in our worship, then you're not going forward. You're going backwards, right? So, yeah.
You know, you put a line in here on the outline. The lesson warns against making our love for God feel obligatory.
Uh huh.
And, you know, the thing about God is He gave us free will.
Sure.
He don't want to make us feel like we have to worship Him.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to worship Him, to feel free to do so. It means more to Him.
Yep. 100%. All right. Anybody else got another comment? I have some questions. I think I have several questions here, and I'm not going to make us answer all of them. Because I know the first one, nobody's going to answer it. After we just did this lesson, you know, when you worship, what most often moves you, the atmosphere, the music style, or a fresh revelation of God? You know, nobody's going to say, well, music style, after we just went through this lesson. But that's something for you. You really know. You might not answer us, you know, say the answer to us. Yeah, God knows, and then you know. So if you can answer the atmosphere or music style, you need to alter course here a little bit.
But that's not to say it doesn't help you usher in.
100%. Like I said, there are times and places for this, and it definitely sets the atmosphere. Listen, I'm all about music wholeheartedly. Love it. Okay. But if your worship is a response to that music and not God, that's the issue. Yeah. All right. So anyways, like I said, I'm not going to ask the first one here. Let's get down to the third one here. This is one I think will be interesting and could maybe help others. Throughout Scripture, people worship after deliverance, healing, breakthrough, and all that, responding to His actions. The question I have here, can you identify specific moments in your life where God acted on your behalf, okay? And did your response reflect the magnitude of what he did? So, can you identify a specific moment in your life where God acted on your behalf? Anybody care to share one? Today in our meeting, Chris said, embrace the awkwardness. I'm embracing it. I'm giving y'all time to respond. I'm filibustering until y'all come up with something.
When we got in church, when we first moved to Arthur, Tennessee, we did it on faith. And we were actually staying, we were left the convent. We were staying with our pastor and his wife for a brief period. But the Lord kept laying on my heart to go and look for an apartment, even though we didn't have the money to get an apartment. And what happened to me, where the Lord acted, is he took a total stranger's heart and changed it to the point that she let us move into an apartment with no down payment and the promise of things to come. And she didn't know us from Adam. And I know God intervened.
Absolutely. Did you have one? Did I hear you start talking?
Yeah, I can have one.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
So, early, when Angel and I was early in marriage, we bought the house that we're actually in now. And the heat pump went out, right? And it is going to cost like $8,000 at the time. It's just outrageous. Like, man, there's no way. I don't have this. And so I contacted the heat pump people, and they gave me the quote and said, I was just hold off, just hold off. And I was like, Lord, what in the world am I going to do here, Lord? What am I going to do here? A couple days later, the heat pump company called back and said, hey, your new unit's here. I said, what new unit? Well, the one for your house. I told you to hold off, so I didn't know if I was going to be able to do this or not. She said, no, you don't understand. It's covered. So what do you mean it's covered? Well, there was a warranty out there that covered the system. All it's going to take is like $350 for couplings, the length of it. And that was it.
Yeah.
So God moved in my life and got that heat pump for $350.
Wow. That'd be expensive. What?
I said, we need one now, Lord.
See? This is encouraging others. You see what we're doing here?
Yeah, encouraging. Wrong way.
Spend money. All right. Anybody else have one? I mean, we got time. Yeah, we got time. Anybody?
I've been told that my cancer's back.
Yeah.
And I was told true that I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
He's been there once a long time ago. He's going to do it again.
Sure.
And he showed up every time. And yeah. Done it. They're like, there's been an error. There's been an issue.
Yeah.
We see what they see, but we see this now. Yeah. There's a difference, and they know that it's the power of God.
Sure.
Every time they're like, you shouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
They told me I'm nothing more than a fatality.
Yeah.
Don't less than 5% chance of living, and I'm 30 now.
Yep.
So
it's awesome.
30. Don't remember that time. No. She said 30. I'm like, I don't remember that anymore. I'm not that old, right? 40. All right. Anybody else? I mean, yeah.
And I'm not saying that for whatever reason, I know the Lord is good.
Yeah. Cool. It's awesome. Anybody else? Actions of God. That's what we're talking about. These are things worth worshiping God over. And, you know, actions of God. I mean, she's not in here right now, but that little baby that she's carrying. Yeah. Action of God. I'm not going to get emotional. Okay. All right, the next one. Has anybody else got one here? Anybody got one before I move on? Okay. So if we look down, and I kind of have it here, what holds people back. You know, we talked about Psalms 47:1, clap your hands and David dance before the Lord and all these expressive ways. So I have some fear, personality, culture, pride. What are some other ways maybe that keeps us from expressing worship as well? Anybody got another one? Maybe something? Let me tell you all one. Okay? And I almost did it just now. There have been times I've sat in a service and God's been moving. And I said, I'm not going to go to the altar because I know I'm going to cry. And that's terrible, right? Terrible. Because I don't want to cry. My contacts are going to get dried out. It's going to be a whole thing. Okay? And then, you know, just like, who cares? Get new contacts. Get the puffy eyes. If people think you ugly cry, who cares? Ugly cry. Okay? Because God's worth it, right? Anybody else?
Lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge. That's good. Yeah. I don't know why I'm going to go up there and do that. Why are they acting that way?
I don't know how.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's actually a process. And I'll
he'll filibuster the rest of the class there. All right. Yeah, lack of knowledge is good. I mean, that goes with so many things. People don't pray because I'm not really sure how to pray. I'm not reading the Bible because I don't know how to read the Bible. And there's classes going on right now, today. You know, Heart of Worship, they're going to get in. These other people are going to back clean up for me. Okay, that's the beauty about going first. It's all on them now to close this thing out. But anyways, how do we do these things? That's and how and why, you know, so good. Anybody else?
You feel like a hypocrite.
Hypocrite.
You feel like a hypocrite.
Because you know how you're living. Yeah. You know some things you've done. And you are your biggest critic, yeah. You know. A lot of times.
I want to say something. You feel like a hypocrite. But you know, regardless of the sin in your life, God is still God.
Mm-hmm.
He still deserves the praise.
Yep.
He still deserves the worship.
Yep.
Regardless of your condition, He's still God.
Yep. Yeah. That's good.
And to butt up against that, you can sit here in the lesson is you get held back by your situation.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're going through a rough time and you feel like, I just can't do it. I just can't. You know, you could be a death of a spouse, a child, and you still. That really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It hurts. You don't understand what's happening, but it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He still deserves the praise and worship.
Absolutely.
100%. It's good. And then we'll skip that next one there. Is anybody got anything else? I'm sorry. I'm letting y'all talk. All right. The last one here, the worship is a lifestyle. I mean, this is such a big thing. You know, as Pentecostals, we come in and everybody's doing it, so I'm going to do it too. But then when you get to Monday and not everybody's there, you know, how's it going then? So with that being said, the same hands lifted on Sunday must live and respond the same way on Monday. What does worship look like in your daily decisions, speech, relationships, at work, whatever it is? What's that look like in your daily decisions? Mm-hmm. Now there's those people that you see and you're just like, I'm gonna go over and talk to them, but they're gonna complain about something. Okay, you can't we can't be like that. Okay, and you're like, oh, I'm gonna go. You know, you meet somebody out on the street, and every time, or you your neighbor, and every time you're like, come to church with me. Yeah, but this is happening in my life. You know, whatever. Why do they want to come to church with you if you just? I call it the Eeyore syndrome. You know, you got the Eeyore. Why bother? You know, we can't be like that, okay?
So you got a rough neighbor, is that what you're saying?
I do.
I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry.
You all pick which one. It's a bunch of heifers over in the field. The cows. We got cows, okay?
Well, I think sometimes it's a mindset too. Because, like, things that you do is like your daily tasks that you're doing. I have to go do this and I have to go do that. Sometimes, you know, I got to go put the kids to bed. I got to go make dinner or whatever. If you change your mindset and you go at it with the attitude, I get to provide a good meal for my family. I get to read the bedtime stories for my children before they go to sleep or whatever. So if you look at it that it's a privilege to get to do that thing, what does that look?
I said, you can come read to me right now.
This is my son.
But yeah, that's a good way to look at it. Yeah. I have to or I get to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like, your face ain't saying what your mouth is, though, right? I get to do this. All right. Anybody else? What does your daily decision of worship look like?
Here's just something that, go back to old Jewish culture.
I'm going to
take you there.
Let's go, man.
But you go back in the Old Testament times, and even up to today, the Jewish people try to come up with 100 things a day to thank God for. And that's praise. When you're thanking for something, you're giving him praise. You know, thank you for this day. Thank you for this job. Thank you for this meal I'm getting to eat. Thank you for my children. Thank you for this car that's taking me to work. Thank you for the job that I get to take the car to go for, so that I can pay for the car.
Thank you for this car breaking down to show me patience. yeah, I mean, that's, 100 things a day. That's pretty crazy. That's intense.
Yeah, I mean, there's also, like, even if you're new to faith and maybe don't have faith, the psychology behind gratitude is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
God knew you were good, and he gave us solutions.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else? What does worship look like in daily decisions?
I just sing in perfect pitch all day, and figure it might happen. Everybody works like, oh my gosh,
where's
the songbird?
The songbird. That's what my daughter's name means. My gosh, I'm going to cry again. And then the last one, if someone deserved your life, again, that's going to be reflection for you because you're probably not going to, would they see evidence of a worshipful response to God? Hopefully the answer is yes. But if it's, I could do better. You've never arrived. Right, you can always go just a little bit further, 1% more every single day. You're like, well, I'll eventually get to 100, right? Well, go higher. But anyways, hopefully y'all gained some stuff from this today. Who's next week? Madison, holla. She's gonna clean some stuff up for me. Thanks for being here today. Let's take a time to pray real quick. Lord, we thank you for this time to come together today. But Lord, I pray that you help us to take something from this lesson, Lord, and that it helps us to be better, Lord Jesus, in the way we worship, and that we remember all the things that you've done for us and the characters of you, Lord Jesus, and that we worship you freely, Lord Jesus, that it's not dependent on things going on in the service or things going on in our lives, Lord Jesus, but it's all about you and who you truly are in our lives, Lord Jesus. I pray for each individual in this place that you lead and guide their footsteps and help them in their journey of worshiping you, Lord Jesus. We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.